Good morning, and welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne. I got my apron on.
You do, and it's spring green.
I know. So I put my shirt on, and it had a spot, and I thought, well, I could change shirts. But then my hair, like if I put a shirt up over my hair immediately, I'm like a deranged dandelion, you know? And so I thought, no, I'll just put an apron on.
So dual purpose, an apron.
See? Can't see my spot. Oh, but now everybody knows it's there.
Yeah, we know it's there. And now we're always going to think if you're wearing your apron out and about that you've got something with a spot on it.
Oh, it doesn't take an apron. I'm always hiding something. You can just know that about me. Always.
Oh, my gosh. What have you been cooking?
Lots.
Really?
I know. It's been one of those couple of weeks.
I was alarmed because when I texted you yesterday to remind both of us that we were on the radio this morning, you said, I have notes.
And yes, yes.
I'm like, what?
Well, the fishing has been so good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really something. Fish are practically jumping into people's boats, if I understand correctly what's going on out there. It's really something, especially out on the ocean, you know. So my stepson got a new boat, which means he's out every day, all day, every day. And because they are keeping it at our house until they can find a place to store it, you know.
Yeah.
He is also at our house every day. And if you show up at my house with fish, I think you are feel a little obligated to give me fish, you know.
Absolutely.
So whereas before he would have had to have driven it up from Seaside, which isn't as convenient with all the tourists, and so now just a lot of fish. So I tried that Nobu salmon.
Yes.
So it's some Michelin starred restaurant. Some guy's name is Nobu. Anyway, it's kind of a famous recipe, and it was good. It was interesting, and I like the method of it. So what it is you take like a quarter cup of sake, a quarter cup of mirin, and you boil it. I think you're boiling a little of the alcohol off for like 3 minutes. And then you put a third of a cup of sugar and a third of a cup of white miso paste in there.
Uh-huh.
And then you stir it and cook it in maybe 3 more minutes, but I think you don't let it boil, and then you cool it off, and it becomes thick, kind of between maybe peanut butter and honey.
Oh, okay.
So not your typical marinade, you know, because it's not thin. So what you do is you kind of spread it on the salmon. So this is a recipe for black cod, but I, of course, had salmon. And they say to leave it on there for 2 days. And from the internet, I know it's because it makes the black cod like super, super delicate. I think the sugar and the alcohol together do something. But I'm not confident leaving, you know, fish in my fridge marinating for 2 days. I'm just not. I don't have like a professional super regulated temperature, and also 2 days, that's just a long time. Even though there's a lot of sugar in there, I just wasn't confident doing that, and salt in the miso. But so I just did it for 6 hours and it was fine. So the recipe says an unusual thing: wipe the marinade off, but not all of it. Don't use a paper towel. Just squish a little bit of it off with your hand. And then you broil it, and it just makes like a crust. And it's not like a breaded crust or anything, but it's just, it makes it brown.
Like a brulee.
Yeah, kind of. Between that, and then it's just like it browns way better, and it's got the black, you know, or brown corners, and it's just quite brown, but it's not like you haven't cooked the bejesus out of it, which is what you would have to normally do to get salmon that color in the outside. And it was really good. And so I was really happy with the recipe. There's people online, because the mirin and the sake are expensive, you know, that just use vodka, and that worked. And I kind of think it's the mirin and the sugar that do the thing. I think you could probably even use water.
Oh, I mean, right. I don't think that vodka is a straight across trade for that, you know, for the...
No, there's flavor a little bit, but I think it would work.
Yeah.
And so then there was another recipe in the New York Times, and its exact name is... You know how they send those emails out? Yakitori-style salmon with scallions and zucchini?
Yeah, I saw that.
So it was complicated in that it was skewers. So salmon skewers, salmon is so delicate. You can't just like pork skewers, you can just go at it like a serial murderer, you know. But you got to be careful. You're like a surgeon more with salmon. And then they sliced zucchini really thin and made skewers out of that. But I didn't want all that work. It was like Tuesday. So I just made the sauce, which was a typical.
And I think that that's the way to go.
Yeah.
I always, because I don't grill, you grill, and there's a lot of reasons to skewer things if you're grilling.
Yeah.
But I don't grill, so I always eliminate that one step and just cook it.
Yeah.
and it's fine.
Yeah, because the skewering is it just takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And it's just time that I just didn't want to spend on that. So we had some fillets that were really close to the tail, so they were quite thin. But this was the same kind of thing. They use a teriyaki sauce that you make, you know, ginger and right. and
soy, rice vinegar, and soy and garlic.
And but you put a decent amount of cornstarch in it, so it becomes the same 2 tablespoons with 3/4 of a cup of water. So it becomes quite thick when you cook it. And it's the same thing. It's like between peanut butter and honey. And so I did the same spread it on thing, sort of wipe it off thing. And it had that same kind of crust, even though it was a thin fillet and I didn't broil it for very long at all. It was really good. I liked the flavor of it a little better than the Nobu, just because I like teriyaki a little better than miso. That's just a personal thing, but they both did that cool thing, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, that was kind of exciting. And then the zucchini, I just sliced it in slabs, put a little of the marinade on it, and, you know, broiled that too, and it was just fine.
Yeah.
No work.
Zucchini is the tofu of vegetables.
Yeah, yes.
You know,
and asparagus is the bacon of vegetables.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. Oh, my gosh.
What have you been cooking?
We had chicken livers recently.
Ew, sorry.
Well, organ.
You're not supposed to say that on a cooking show, are you?
Ew. No, that's okay. I think we've said it.
No, it's just
times.
My dad was so enamored with organ meats, and I just had my lifetime's allotment by the time I was like 7 and a half, you know?
Yeah. That... Thanks, folks. Thanks to our folks. There are, as parents, there are things that you can ruin for everyone.
Ugh.
By loving them too much, I think. But chicken livers, and I like other things. I like sweetbreads. I like some stuff. But I don't cook chicken livers very often, and I don't know why, because Tom really loves them.
Okay.
And they are incredibly cheap.
Well, I'm super lucky because Dale, before we were married, before I knew him, he got some chicken livers at like a gas station in Iowa.
Oh, my God, Dale.
And so what they did to him has just cured him of organ meats also for his entire life.
I bet.
I don't get any noise from the peanut gallery wanting them.
You know, there's a rule about that. No organ meats, no sushi from the mini mart. Come on.
Oh, I know.
Stop. Ay, ay, ay. Anyway, yeah. I did chicken livers, and I always do those with mashed potatoes because, I don't know, you have to.
Yeah.
And grilled, sautéed onions with them. I didn't have any bacon, but had I had bacon, I would put that there, too.
Did you have any asparagus?
I had corn on the cob.
Oh, there.
And I've been buying corn like crazy, and it's hard to get past corn on the cob.
Yeah.
Because it's just so perfect and it's so fast. And when corn is good, you know, there's lots of ways to do fabulous things with corn later.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know how you were just saying that zucchini is the tofu of vegetables, and I said that asparagus is the bacon of vegetables. And then I was trying to think what corn was, and my brain's so lame what it came up with. It's the candy corn of vegetables. And I'm just like, oh, my God, my brain is so sad. It's just so sad.
Well, you've used it up already. You know,
we
have an allotment every day, and apparently.
Or for our whole lives, apparently, is my problem.
Oh, my God. You know, the other thing I made that was really good was, you know, panzanella, the Italian bread salad.
Mm-hmm. Delicious.
Yes, really delicious. Well, it's really deliciouser if you put fresh corn
off
the
cob. Oh, what a good idea.
I got the recipe, and it called for grilling the corn.
Okay.
But I took it off the cob, and I just put it on I have a little flat top that drops into where the burners are usually on my stove. And I put that on there and charred it while the bread cubes, the dried bread cubes, were getting a little charred on the edges.
Okay.
And then tossed it in with the fresh tomatoes and the red onions and blah, blah, blah. And there were some... vinaigrette, your standard red wine vinaigrette. It was good.
That sounds really good. That salad is so dependent upon the quality of the tomatoes.
Yep.
Oh, so I have some friends, Harry and Salty. They're great. And they grow this tomato that's so good. And it's early. I mean, they've had them, at least 2 weeks now. And so the other day they called and Salty said, "Hey, Harry picked a hubcap of tomatoes." Isn't that funny? Like a funny amount, a hubcap of tomatoes. But their tomatoes are so delicious. And they're uniform. They're red. And they're not huge beefsteak tomatoes. They're just those tomatoes on the vine that they have at the store. They're about that size. But they're a variety called Willamette.
Oh.
And I'd never heard of them except that they always grow them, and they're exceptionally delicious.
Wow.
And they have a high yield, and they ripen early. Really, really good Willamette. So if any of you are looking for a new variety, that is the variety to buy in my mind.
Yeah. And it's getting to be tomato season for a lot of kinds. But I so far have been eating a ton of the little Sun Gold, the little
yellow. Oh,
those
are the best. Those are the best here, yeah.
And they're the cherry tomatoes. So, but there's hardly anything except a BLT that you can't substitute cherry tomatoes for slicers if you don't have, like, premium slicers. And I haven't seen any quite right yet at the store. So, yeah, I don't know about if they're available at the farmer's market. I haven't seen them come up on the Thursday market list yet.
No, I don't know. I made a just an experiment, tried a new thing, and it's dakboki. Have you ever heard of it?
The rice cakes?
Yes.
Yeah, tabbouleh.
Have you used tabbouleh?
I love it, the spicy sauce.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh, that stuff is so good.
So it's they kind of look like penne pasta, but they're not hollow, and they are rice cakes, and they're you just kind of cook them like you would gnocchi, but they are chewier, kind of rubberier, and then they don't like soak up liquid infinitely. You know, they don't like pasta get ruined after a while.
Yeah,
and they're spelled like you just stuck your hand into a Scrabble bag full of tiles.
It's their Korean. This is Korean dish. Yeah.
So it's TTEOKO. That's deck, and then bo is bo. And then key is KKI. So see, just look for something that starts with TT. But I thought that they were good.
Yeah.
So I bought the hot ones, and they kicked my ass. And so to teach them a lesson, I stuck them on the counter overnight. What was left after I was done screaming around the house, and they didn't absorb, you know, they stayed pretty much the same. The liquid was dried up, but they didn't get all mushy, which I was really impressed with.
So was this like a kit kind of thing?
Yeah, I couldn't find them, just the thing itself.
Yeah.
And so, although the thing itself came in the little cup of noodles things, it was like a little cup of noodles things.
Yeah.
And it was mostly in Korean, the package. And I should learn that there's different hot scales for America and for Asian countries.
Yeah. They actually mean it. You can actually trust them. Here, food manufacturers are scared to tell us the truth. So, they to serve us the truth. They call things hot and you go, okay, where's my Tabasco? Yeah. But I love tabbouleh, and I know that you can... I don't know if it's still happening, but you can find tabbouleh, the actual rice cakes, without any of the sauce, usually in a freezer section.
Okay, I didn't think to look there.
And then you can make your own sauce. There's lots of recipes for that.
Okay, I just recently even heard of them. I'd never heard of them before, like last time I saw you. So that was kind of exciting.
Yum.
Something new.
I need to take a quick sec here and remind everybody that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. Both organizations have extremely superior double superlatives websites, KMUN.org and NorthCoastFoodWeb.org. They're jam-packed with important and entertaining information. Go there and see for yourself.
Yay. Super duper. That's my double superlative.
Oh, yeah. Good. All right. Can't say enough good things. Oh, my gosh. So I'm looking at, here's what's got my attention for this morning. On Food Talk Mornings, we have a very unfashionable breakfast late. Although, really, probably that's the normal time.
Yeah.
I mean, we're retired. We don't even know what time it is.
But yeah.
We're often still sitting at the breakfast table discussing whatever at 1 o'clock. So it isn't even all that late. But a recipe for anchovy toasts came across my radar recently. And it was this contrived thing where you made the anchovy toast and you sliced tomatoes and you put pretty standard red wine vinaigrette over the tomatoes and let them sit for a little while, and then you served them with the toast all in the same bowl. And I'm like, why am I not just going to make anchovy toast and put some sliced tomatoes on top? I'm not sure, but I think that
way. Are you like making an anchovy butter? How are you getting the anchovies on the toast? Are you just lining them up?
You are crushing clove of garlic with some salt until you get a paste. And then the interesting, one of the many interesting things about this recipe was they tell you to take your anchovy fillets and rinse them.
I've heard that too.
Well, I understand why it happens in this recipe, but you're just taking all that good stuff.
Yeah,
off.
Yeah.
And then you're adding olive oil. And I get it that it would be really intense to use the anchovy oil instead of olive oil, so that's okay. But I don't think I would rinse them underwater. I think I might just pat them with a paper towel or something
okay.
and get the excess oil off, but leave a little because so good.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just, and then you toss those. Whatever you've done to those pork fillets, you put them in with your garlic and mash everything into a paste.
Oh, okay.
And then spread it on the toast.
Okay.
So, and it's also, some, I'm trying to think what else is in that. It's just anchovies, a garlic clove, some olive oil. That's it.
Okay.
And spread it on toast, and then you make this tomato salad, which is a sliced tomatoes in vinaigrette, which sounds fabulous on its own. But instead of dirtying all those plates, I think I would just slice the tomatoes right onto the toast and
yeah.
drizzle a little vinaigrette on them, and it just sounds so good
yeah.
to me. Yeah.
Anything to make it easier.
Yeah.
Do you think avocados would be good with that?
Really good. And maybe in addition to that.
Yeah.
Or maybe some red onion.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of things. Lots of things. Or you could make it so high that you can't eat it. You know,
Dagwood's anchovy toast.
You need a fork and a knife and fork now. And there's no picking that thing up. Anyway, it sounds good to me. And I like all of the versions of toast. I love avocado.
Could you use
toast.
like gravlax with that, or would it fight?
With that?
Would it be too
I'm
much?
I'm not sure, but I always have cold smoked salmon.
Yeah, would it be too much?
I don't know. It might be perfect.
I don't know.
Or it might be too much. Or it might be a waste of the two things.
You know what
I mean? It might be a diversion. I'm not sure.
Like I think of the salmon as more delicate, and I think of the anchovies as punching me in the face.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things we like about them. they please our masochistic side.
But you could spread it like a butter instead of like a paste, you know, like thinly. And I wonder if that would be good with salmon. I just don't know.
Yeah, no, I think it would be good with salmon.
Are you saying that to be nice? Because you're a very nice person.
No, because I had misunderstood what you were saying, and I thought you were talking about putting salmon on top of the anchovy toast. But you're talking about putting the anchovy butter on something else. And then...
No. Sorry. No, you're right. Door number one. Just putting just a little bit of the anchovy butter in the toast and then the salmon. But I think that maybe that was not a good idea.
I don't know. I think it's not a bad idea because everything in there is delicious, but it might not be the best way you love those things without each other.
Yeah.
I do salmon bagels, you know, pretty often.
They're delicious.
Yeah. I've done them more often lately because it's been a busy weekend out there on the streets. And I got to say, welcome to all the visitors. And if you're listening to KMUN Community Radio, double welcome to come and have such fabulous taste in radio while you're enjoying the beautiful Lower Columbia Pacific world. But there is a lot of traffic.
They're super duper.
So when we, so when we're going to go somewhere, we allow twice as much time.
Or we go at 7 a.m.
Yeah. So I don't go grocery shopping on the weekend. I do not. No. So if I'm out of eggs, yay for salmon bagels.
That's so interesting. Okay. So you know that I buy like farm stand eggs.
Yeah.
And also because, and we've talked about this, or rather I have, and you politely listened, about how I don't have a lot, 100% confidence in store eggs because of how expensive they were. I don't know how long they've been sitting at the distributor.
Right.
Distributors have had problems being hacked. Another reason stuff has been sitting there. So I always do a float test on my eggs, you know?
Yes.
I always do. Stick them in water. If they float, they're bad. If they sink, they're good. So then yesterday I made fried eggs for breakfast, two for me, two for Dale. Ate my first egg. It was great. And then my second one, I took a bite and it was going down. And I thought, you know what? That wasn't quite right.
Uh-oh.
And so I smelled my egg, and it wasn't quite right. But what would make an egg go bad and not float?
Yeah.
I've never encountered that before.
No, but now our confidence has been rattled, because if that test is not foolproof, then
yeah.
what assurance do we have?
Well, and it was so funny because I did the float test like I always do, but usually I'm baking, right? And so Dale's not there, but he's right there trying to get at the coffee maker. I'm at the sink floating eggs, and he's like, what are you doing? So, I mean, I have a witness, you know,
yeah.
All my eggs sank. It's so weird, right? So that bite went down, and I thought, oh, I could throw up. And I thought, well, I don't want to, because that's just how you are. So I took like a double thing of like pink stuff, you know, because
yeah.
I had, we can't say brand names, but I have a doctor who told me whenever I travel internationally, just before any time I eat anything, just to take a swig of that. And I've never been sick ever traveling, and so it just coats your stomach. And I thought, okay, maybe I can coat it retroactively. And then I just like waited. But I remember from microbiology classes in college, I had this really funny professor, and she would make us sing. So all the food poisoning bacteria, there's two that will show symptoms between 3 to 8 hours, and all the rest are 8 to 24 hours. And so the song went, Salmonella and Shigella, Salmonella and Shigella, 3 to 8 hours. That was the song. And so to this day, I remember, and I'm sure I'll be on my deathbed, and I'll be singing about bacteria. And Salmonella would be by far the most likely candidate to what would make an egg go bad
yeah.
on the inside. And so I waited 3 to 8 hours and I was fine. And then I waited 8 to 24 and I was fine. So I was really happy.
Yes.
But I was worried, you know, because I did not want to be sick, because I didn't want to throw up. But then, of course, if you get sick, you throw up. And I thought about that afterwards. Well, I didn't think this through, you know, you throw up way worse. But no, I think I'm okay. But such a strange thing to have an egg that was bad and it didn't float.
Yeah, that's not acceptable. They have to admit it when they're bad.
Yeah, yeah.
They cannot be like keeping a secret. but the other thing that's really weird to me is that it didn't smell when you cracked it. And
when I say it was bad, it wasn't how, like, you know how, like, when an egg is bad, man,
yeah.
it just slaps you in the face and then punches you in the nose, mm-hmm. and then it hits you over the head with something really heavy. It wasn't like that. It was like maybe its first day it was bad, or, you know,
yeah.
it was on
the verge, maybe.
Yes, it was like I had to get my, even when it was on my plate and I'd broken the yolk and taken a bite, and then it was just the bite that I'm like, oh, that wasn't quite right. And then I got my face right down in there and it didn't smell right. But it didn't make me recoil at all. It wasn't pungent. It was just a small smell, but it was not right.
Yeah. Well, I bet if it had waited one more day, it would have floated.
Yeah, I think you're right. but it was just a shock. It was because I did the float test, you know.
Oh.
You think you're protected. I'm pretty conscious of food safety. I want to protect my family. I don't want to kill any of them.
Yeah, we like our family.
I know. It's my goal.
Oh, my gosh. Well, so peaches.
Oh, yeah. Nectarines.
Uh-huh.
Plums. Man. Something's plummeting to the earth.
Have you had melon yet?
Yes. Yes. In fact,
yesterday
was National Watermelon Day.
What?
I know.
Oh my gosh.
But you know what I did? I cubed up some watermelon and sprinkled on the fennel salt and squirted it with lime. Because normally we just do it on a wedge and then you hold
yes.
the rind and eat it. And you're real careful about how much you put on there. You know how much you put on each piece. But it worked.
Really?
Yeah. So I didn't do how, like, when you're making maybe chicken salad and you put in some mayonnaise and you dump in a handful of this herb and this spice and salt and pepper. I was real careful to sprinkle it over the top of the whole thing so I didn't have a big gob on one piece of watermelon because it would soak it right up immediately. And then I tossed it gently, but right away. But yeah, it worked.
Ooh, yum.
Yeah. So it was a whole salad. So that was delicious.
That is luxe.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Then you can eat it with a fork. It doesn't have to drip down your face.
I love that.
You must be looking forward to melon.
I am looking forward to melon, but I haven't seen... I'm not a big fan of the smaller round ones that are supposedly... Well, first of all, seedless, but also supposedly mostly heart and not so, you know.
But they're not super flavorful.
No, they're not. And they don't actually have a pleasing texture. So I'm not interested in a flavorless Nerf melon. I want a nice Hermiston melon with seeds.
No, so, they're here, though. They're in town.
I'm going to look. I will look. I haven't been to the store, as you know, and we've been having plan B, which is salmon bagels and oatmeal for a while because I refused to go to the store today.
That sounded like salmon bagels and salmon oatmeal, the way that you said it. Bagels and oatmeal. The way the salmon in our house, it's going to come to salmon oatmeal.
Oh my gosh, though. Yipes. Do you ever do congee of any kind?
No, and I love it.
I would just wonder if that would be good with salmon because it's good.
I bet
with,
it would be delicious. Yeah.
And I've seen a recipe recently for corn congee, which sounds really good.
Anything you put in, it's one of those.
Yeah.
You just have to boil the rice for a really long time. And I think I have to just find some place that I'm confident the recipe is okay and that I'm not just boiling rice in water for 2 hours and nothing will happen, that I'll get the right kind of rice and the right amount of water so it'll turn out right.
Yeah.
That's what I have to do.
Yeah. I got to say, I revere my rice cooker for so many reasons.
Yeah.
And it has a porridge setting, which I think would work really well. I haven't done that, but now that I say it out loud, I think that might be a good way to get congee rice.
Yeah. I think that's what it's for, is for congee.
Yeah. I've only ever used it for, oat porridge.
I think I worked in a Chinese restaurant for so long, and we would always have congee for breakfast. I just really like it.
Yeah.
I don't know why I haven't made it.
It's so delicious. And it is another one of those things that is welcoming of a variety of ingredients, and you can clean out your fridge.
Yeah.
So
anything can go in it.
Yeah. And be fabulous.
Yeah.
Corn. There's a parrot named Einstein on YouTube who has a massive vocabulary.
Oh, wow.
But he loves to say corn.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll often just insert it for other words, like happy corn. He's adorable. He really likes corn.
It's like trout fishing in America. Corn to the birds.
Oh, my gosh. I have a kinship with him because of his love of corn.
Is he like a gray parrot?
Yeah.
Okay, those are so smart.
Those are the talkers.
There's
those
a super
and the, yellow.
Famous one named Alex in like the science world.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Alex is really, he should be named Einstein.
Brilliant.
Hey, Linda Perkins, I'm sorry, but we are.
Oh, I wanted to talk about vanilla. I wanted to talk about that.
Sorry.
Okay.
I'm telling you. Time is almost up. You need to sing us out, and we'll try to remember for 2 weeks what you wanted to talk about today.
Yeah. Okay. I'm driving my vegetables. I'm driving my green edibles. I'm driving my vegetables around. I am driving my broccoli. I'm driving my cauliflower. Driving a bushel of corn home. You know, there's a lot of verses to that song.
Oh, my gosh. We are both delighted and fearful of knowing that. Thank you, Linda Perkins.
Thank you, Marianne Myers.
Stay tuned for Lost Highways.